Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
I mentioned Michael Penix. Let's go to the NFC South. The division's at stake. Obviously, if the Atlanta Falcons had gone to Michael Penix sooner, like you and I and Carl told them to, they might have the upper hand going into this final weekend. Instead, they need help from Tampa, who's playing the Saints, who are falling apart. Mm-hmm. But the Falcons have to be playing the long game with Michael Penix. They took the handcuffs off Michael Penix finally the other night, Monday night.
Yep.
And the kid on script and off script, Baldy, I thought was special. I think this game is played into the 50s because the Panthers are chucking it around no matter who's available, and obviously Chuba Hubbard and others have been shut down. But I have to think the Atlanta Falcons, if nothing else, want to go into the offseason with Michael Penix having thrown the ball 35, 40 times. I know they like to run too, but they got to have this kid, right, going into the playoffs or going into the offseason.
Well,
having put it on a team that he should put it on.
I mean, you go back to the draft. I said the Falcons would draft Michael Penix Jr. People thought I was crazy.
Yep.
All they brought up with Michael Penix Jr. were the injuries that he had in Indiana, and they were real. He was 18, 19 years old. He had some major injuries, but he's basically gone three straight years now without anything. He's got an elite arm, and he's smart as a whip, and he knows how to process. The only thing missing, and I talked to his agent, and I went back and rewatched it. Reggie Johnson's agent went back and rewatched the game. He's off a little bit on his deep ball, mm-hmm. And I remember talking to Troy Aikman about that. Like when he was just starting out in Dallas, and it was like the last thing to come in his Hall of Fame career was really the touch on the deep ball, and the only way you get it is to work at it, you know. And I remember going out to Valley Ranch, you know, with those guys in Dallas and watching. I mean, the month of April, May, all they did was practice. And I just think if you gave Bo Nix an offseason where he could really work with the timing of Drake May, you know, Darnell Mooney, whoever they are, Drake London, I'm sorry. But if you give him the time to start working on this stuff, he's going to complete those passes like he did at Washington.
Yes.
So I thought they waited too long. I didn't think that Kirk Cousins was in a slump. I just think that's what Kirk Cousins is. And all these people that are hitting me – like, hey, can Kirk Cousins be our bridge quarterback next year? I don't know. It was a 5-game stretch where he was terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can regain any of the form we saw in Minnesota or Washington. So, but Bo Nix is the future. Michael Penix is the future. Yeah, he's the future. And they gotta play him and let him throw it and let him work through the little bit of touch that he's off with in some of these things and get ready for the offseason. The idea that, okay, Kirk Cousins get his job. No, it's over. Like, this is Michael Penix's team right now.
This over is one of my favorite plays of the week, Baldy. These teams combined for 58 points in the first meeting. That was with Kirk Cousins. Atlanta went 4 of 8 in the red zone. So they really could have easily hung more than the 38 on the Panthers. The NFC South has been over central, like over city. Like everything goes over. These two teams have played 10 games within the division. Only two of them have gone under this number. I'm sorry, three total. But like Carolina's games within the division, 5-0 to the over, 54.2 points per game. Falcons games within the division, 4-1 to the over, 53.6 points per game. Again, and that was with Cousins doing nothing down the stretch. Atlanta, Carolina on the road this year, 5-2 to the over. And look, Bryce Young has had a resurgent campaign. He's a part of their future. He's going to want to go in with a high note. He's slinging it around, even with a cast that is lacking. I mentioned Hubbard out, but he'll throw it to Thielen 500 times if he has to. Like, I just think, and Atlanta's got some issues defensively, although their pass rush did finally look pretty good against Washington. I think this game is played in the 50s.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think Atlanta, like, Bijan's having a great season. You know, nobody's talking about Bijan.
Yeah.
Obviously, with what's going on with Derrick Henry and, you know, Saquon, I mean, it's and the team is 500. But he's having a great season, and he is what we thought he was coming out of Texas. So, I mean, I think Atlanta puts up a good number. But, you know, it's really going to come down to that game in Tampa.
Obviously. Well, there we go. Even if Michael Penix does what we think he's going to do, and even if Atlanta does what we think they're going to do, because they waited too long with the quarterback, they need help from Tampa. And Baldy, the Saints, maybe Kamara's back for this game, but like,
I mean, the quarterback plays.
It's atrocious. Like, the offense right now has no chance, right? Like, it looks like a high school offense. Like,
If they throw Spencer Rattler out there, it doesn't matter who they threw out there. I mean, Todd Bowles knows that, you know, I mean, they Kalijah Kansey, Vita Vea, like these guys are going to, Yaya Diaby, these guys are going to tee off. Like, they're going to come at them in so many different ways. So I can't see them putting up, I mean, if they put up 14 points because the defense found a way to score. But the thing that's impressive, honestly, about this Tampa team is just the rookies. Whether it's Graham Barton or Bucky Irvin or Jalen McMillan, I mean, these guys have stepped up huge. Bucky Irvin is an amazing player. Like, he's got amazing – like, we evaluate these running backs, we kind of think we can just all throw them in a hopper. This guy's like, you have to study running backs' feet and their ability to explode, get out of trouble, press the hole, bounce, run with toughness behind their back. This guy is a great player, great young player. And Jalen McMillan, since Godwin went down, first of all, the guy always seems to be open. But if you're looking for a compliment opposite Mike Evans right now, I mean, Baker is slinging. He's got 39 touchdown passes. And he lost his number one and number two receivers for a month. And he's still got 39 touchdown passes.
Yeah, and Baldy, he's got 17 passing touchdowns in his last six games at home. Mike Evans, we know, struggled for years against the Saints and that Lattimore matchup. Well, Lattimore's gone, and the Saints' defense looks decimated, and Mike Evans is 85 yards away from another 1,000-yard season. Mike Evans is going to have 100 yards receiving in this game if Baker has to throw it to him 20 times because Baker wants him to get that. Yep. Baker's going to get not just two passing touchdowns in this game, maybe three. I love Saints' first half. I got it at -6.5. The spread is around 14 and rising. I don't even know if the Saints can backdoor cover. Like, he should probably just back the Bucks, but I don't mind shortening the game and playing them in the first half. New Orleans is a sad sack operation right now. Well, few other topics to hit here, Baldy, not necessarily specific game related. One, Saquon Barkley and his chase of history. And that's a really tough call for Sirianni. Like, the game means nothing. They're locked into the two seed. Saquon has been the engine for their offense that they hoped and prayed he could be. And he's also within sniffing distance of doing something, running for more yards in a season than anybody ever has before. Now, the season's also a lot longer than it used to be. Yeah. But still, I can't fault them for putting team goals ahead of individual goals. It is a tough spot. What do you think of this?
Well, first of all, they're playing the Giants, So Saquon's already let the Giants know earlier year with his performance against them that they made a colossal mistake. But regardless, I talked to Saquon a couple weeks ago before a game, and he wanted the record. He wanted 2,000. Sure. He wanted the record. Like it was on his mind. All right. And if you're Lane Johnson and you're trying to build your Hall of Fame career, which he is, having Saquon as the all-time leading rusher for a season in a bad little feather when you put together the all pros and all the things he's done. But I texted those guys, and even before Sirianni came out, they thought they were going to sit, because honestly, it's the right thing to do. They had a week five bye, Jason. They've gone 12 straight weeks. So if you get this team, Hurts, Saquon, give Lane the week off, whatever, and then you get ready for the playoffs. I mean, their goal is to go 4-0.
Yeah.
Take whatever happens week 18 with Kenny Pickett and whoever plays against the Giants. It doesn't matter. Like, what matters is, okay, that first wild card weekend, you're at home against, who knows, Tampa, whoever it is. Like, they need to be ready to make a 4-0 stretch run to go do what their big goal is to win the Super Bowl. So I think it's the right call right now.
Yeah, I'm with you entirely. You're paid by the team because you're part of the team, and the team doesn't get a parade for having a guy run for 2,200 yards.
No.
You get a parade when everybody wins the last game of the season. I'm totally with you there. This is the last opportunity for Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. I'm trying to think who else is really in this discussion. Is it anybody else for the MVP, right? It's these two. Josh is probably only going to play a little bit because of the same reasons we just talked about with Saquon. There's nothing at stake. They're the two seed, just like Philadelphia. I think Lamar is probably going to have to play into the second half, probably not the fourth quarter if they destroy the Browns like I think they will. But one half against a Browns team, maybe with no Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett, might be pretty special. How do you handicap this thing?
Well, if you just go by stats, Lamar is the runaway.
It's unbelievable. I mean,
it's stats. It's not close.
No.
And you can't say, well, let's give it to Josh because Lamar's got two. You can't do that. You got to base it on this year. And the fact is Lamar just keeps getting better. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know he lost weight this year to be quicker, and he was. He was noticeably quicker, getting out of harm's way. But his eyes are so much better, and his touch on the ball is so much better. Those two tight ends, Andrews and Likely, like, give me a better tandem right now.
Yeah.
Well, they have 16 touchdowns between the two of them. Yep. I mean, it's remarkable to watch Lamar play. And Josh Allen, look, he's been remarkable.
Yeah.
Just remarkable. But in his best year that he's had, and in Buffalo's best year with Josh, like, I think Lamar's the MVP. And it's not to slight anybody. But if you just – and I don't know what else you go by. I mean, they're on – how many games have they just won in a row right now? Have they won four in a row, five in a row, whatever
it'll be is. Four when they beat the Browns. It'll so come out of the bye when four in a row.
Finishing strong. I don't know. It's hard for me to overlook what Lamar's doing.
The only person in NFL history who has a higher single-season passer rating than what Lamar has right now is Aaron Rodgers in the year 2011. Like, that's it. Like, yeah, Steve Young never did it. Dan Marino never did it. I mean, we go through the history. That, like, his passer rating is over 120 for the season. Like, I think there's been three games all season where his passer rating has been lower than, like, 110. Like, he's going to end up producing 45 touchdowns, less than five interceptions. That's never happened. He's going to throw for 4,000 and maybe run 900
yards.
Like, he's doing things that have never been done in the history of the game. And again, if you're one thing I'm waiting to see is what he does in the playoffs, right? Because this team averages 27.2 points per game in the regular season with Lamar and 16 points per game in the playoffs. Like, Lamar's first half passer rating in the playoffs for his career in six games is 64.7. Like, he's barely completed 50% of his passes with more interceptions than touchdowns. So he's got things he has to do there. But, Baldy, I don't know if you've noticed, now they've gone from Derrick Henry being a guy who runs under center two-thirds of the time to a guy who's in the pistol with Lamar two-thirds of the time. And what they're doing between the tackles with inside zone and the mesh point. And now Lamar, because the games really, really matter, is keeping it more himself. So you really have to defend Lamar in the run game too. I've never seen this. Like, I've never seen anything like this.
I mean, this is better than any of Lamar's MVP seasons. But it is about the postseason. But this award isn't for the postseason. Yeah. You know, Josh Allen has to win the postseason as well, win big. And so, but I just don't know how you can overlook Lamar just because Josh is so great and playing so well, and Lamar's won two. It doesn't fly. It has nothing to do with what Lamar's done prior. He's the best player in the league right now.
Yes, he is.
And Baltimore's the benefactor of it.
Yeah, I mean, one's the 2 seed and one's the 3 seed. Like, and the 3 seed beat the 2 seed head to head.